Crack 12 cans. And I'll tell you, you know, because they have like diced tomatoes and whole tomatoes and puree and Italian seasoned tomatoes. And I think I might make something later. See, so, you know, but now I can catch myself and, you know, before I get to the register and go, come on, you really don't need 12 cans. Come on, this is your alcoholism here. You know, I'm a collector, man. I want everything, you know, and you know, my sponsor's always trying to slow me down. He says, you know, Dale, your job in life now is to simplify and get down to the thing. You know, all these things that used to fill that hole, I need to get rid of now. And I tell him, I say, you know, I pull in my garage and I feel happy when I see all my tools and my motorcycles and cars and stuff. And he says, yeah, but those are the things that you used to fill that hole, you know, that emptiness that you had. And as somebody that reminds me often that, you know, when you get something new, it's really only good for about a week, you know, or 2 weeks, you know. That bitching new car is just bitching for about 2 weeks. And then it's like, then I'm looking at the next car, you know. So what happened to me was somewhere probably around 30 years old, I'm not sure, but I had crossed the line between bragging about how much I drank and hiding how much I drank. So I won't go into a big, you know, long drunkalogue or tell you some of the horrid stories, but I got in a lot of trouble when I drank. There's a couple people in here that I drank with, and they know that, and would visit me in jail and put money on my books. But I had crossed that line, and I know that today that's a line. But, you know, I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to be alcoholic. I thought I'd never say that. I heard that. From people, you know, I'm so-and-so proud to be an alcoholic. I thought, wow, how could you be proud of this? But, you know, that design for living is what it is, you know. When I got here, I was a mess, and I thought I knew everything. And by the way, if you're new, there's something the lady says at my Sunday morning meeting. If you're new, your problems are far worse than they appear. Okay? So, as you start to do these steps, and not to scare you off, you know, but you're going to come back because, you know, you'll probably come back to hear Terry. And I'm glad to be the opening act for Terry, So I got here and finally in desperation, you know, for me it became a matter of life and death. And I was suicidal, and the day came that I was going to kill myself. And I'd been going to AA, I'd been in and out for 11 years, and the day came and I looked down and I had a half a bottle of whiskey and a half a tank of gas, and I knew where I was going to do it, and I was going to drive off this cliff. And I don't know, I looked through the windshield and I started to turn the key, and I said, you know, if there really is a God, you know, show me something. You know, the truck didn't shake, no lights flashed or anything, but I just felt something came over me that felt I was okay. And I didn't know that was going to be the last day that I drank. And I still don't know. But that's the last time I drank. But I knew where to go. You know, I knew I needed to come back to Alcoholics Anonymous and just do whatever those people said, the people that seemed like they had an emotional sobriety. That's what I looked up to. You know, it was the people that just had that gleam in their eyes, and they were just living happy, content lives, and they were alcoholic and admitting they were alcoholic too. And that's what I did. You know, I came here and I just did what I was told. And I say, I know now that I knew nothing. I thought I knew everything. And I just followed instructions, you know, and I was afraid. The 11 years that I was going in and out, I was, I didn't want to stay here because it said God up on the wall in the literature, and I didn't want anything to do with the God. So if you're having a problem with the God thing, I feel you. You know, it almost killed me because I couldn't stay here because I didn't want to have anything to do with the God. I had a childhood God that I knew I couldn't live by his rules. You know, I was raised in the church, and though my parents didn't act the same way they did at church. But, you know, I'd read the Bible, and I knew that there's no way I was living by that. And so I'd written off God a long time ago as a child. So I didn't want nothing to do with that. When I got here, I said, God, there's no way I can, you know, deal with that. But when I came back desperate enough, I said, I'll just do whatever it takes, even if I have to believe in, you know, that God. Because I finally wanted to live. So, So I had to medically detox. I was a real heavy drinker, and I medically detoxed and got out, and the guy came in and did H&I in the detox, and he said, come join us at the beach. And I had already lived down at the beach, and by the way, it's not a good place to get sober. but it turned out to be, you know, and that's what my head thinks, you know. If you told me, you know, stay away from places you drank, I couldn't leave the house. I couldn't even be in the house. What do you mean? I mean, you know, I mean, I drank everywhere. When I drink, I like to go places, so I'm driving all over town, you know. So, first meeting, I came out of the meeting, and first day out of detox, and I went to a meeting, and I came out, and I was with a buddy that I had been in detox with, and we had graduated our 2 weeks, and he says, this guy says to my buddy, he says, you want to do this? And he says, do what? He says, the steps. Oh, no, I'm not ready for that. He said, not those steps. And I said, I do. And he said, all right. So he took me aside, and we talked a little bit, and I told him my history, and he said, okay, I want you to pray. I didn't want to hear. I want you to pray every morning and ask God to protect you, and I want you to pray every night and tell him thank you for protecting you. And, you know, I was doing that for months, and I was reading, and I was writing like crazy, and I remember telling him, you know, I don't feel anything. I'm not feeling nothing. I'm talking to something, and I don't feel it, all right? And he said, that's all right. Just keep doing it, you know? And I still had that childhood vision of my God, and I was trying to do right, and I think, you know what, maybe I could become that person. I must have been 6 months down the road, and probably the sixth or seventh step, and I remember driving down the road, and I talked to this person that's really not there in the car next to me, and I'm talking to him, and I'm going, you know, what do you think I should do? You know, do you think she really is a bitch, it's probably me? They're telling me it's all me, you know, or whatever, you know, that guy at work or the driver next to me, or sometimes I go, hey, watch this, diving in front of somebody, and so I told my sponsor, I said, you know, I notice I'm talking to somebody that's not there in the seat next to me. He goes, really? And I said, yeah. I said, I think my God might be a NASCAR driver. And I was and I was just joking, too. And he said, perfect. You know, and I said, really? It's okay if my God's a NASCAR driver? He says, you tell it. It's a God of your understanding, whatever that is. And, you know, I felt so good. I get chills right now thinking about it. I felt so good to hear that from him, that really this person that I don't even know, that I think doesn't exist, but I'm talking to, can be my God. He says, absolutely, whatever works for you. And, I'm a little over 3 years sober now. I'll tell you, my God has evolved. I'm not sure that it's the same God as anybody in this room. Although it might become someday, I don't know. I know my God's not the NASCAR driver anymore. I don't know what he looks like. I just know that my God is really cool. You know, he likes almost everything I do. And, but it's somebody I get to talk to. See, I have to talk to somebody besides me, you know, which leads me right into sponsorship. You know, that sponsor of mine, one thing he did is he gave me smart feet. And I don't know if you know what that means. I know what it means to me is that right away he says, you know, you need to go back into that detox and talk to those people. And I said, about what? He said, you need to go in there and show them that you're sober. And I'm saying under 2 months of sobriety, I was back into VOA on an H&I panel doing that, you know, and I was there just this last Thursday, and I've done it ever since. And so, you know, I didn't know anything, but my feet were smart. And they take me to places. And if somebody asks me to do something, you know, I just do it. I was a little upset that Joe asked me to be the 10-minute speaker. You know, but you know what? My feet got me here. You know, so, and that sponsorship, that's somebody to run my life by is just amazing. You know, I got like 2 minutes, huh? A minute and a half. It's such a vital part of my recovery. That God... At reading the book with that sponsor every week. I've changed sponsors after 2 years of sobriety. I changed to an old timer that's got 30 years. That this guy is, I don't know, he is just so serene. I think I could hit him in the face and he wouldn't say anything. You know? And that's really what I want. I thrive on that. These old timers are just so calm, you know, so unlike me. I can talk with this guy and tell him something. And so he said, how was your week? You know, we meet every Tuesday. We read the book together, talk. And we've gone through the steps. Now we've got, now we're in the 12 and 12 reading that. And who knows? It'll probably go forever, I hope. And he says, so how's your week? And I say, it's good. You know, this happened on Monday, and this happened here, and this happened here. He goes, wait a minute. This happened on this day, and you did this, and this happened on this day, and you did this. See, this didn't occur to me that there's a contrast there. Do you see the difference, the contrast in the way that you handle those two situations? Oh, yeah, I guess so. That's why I need somebody to run my life. See, because with this brain, figuring out this brain, it doesn't really work. You know, it works a lot of the times. But overall, I need another guy that I can run this by that can straighten me out, you know. He said to me one day, he said, what was it you were so upset about like 2 weeks ago? And I said, I can't remember. He says, that's exactly. You know, because my mind just wanders off and it wants to do all kinds of crazy things. And it gets upset about the piddly little things, you know, that just mean nothing. And really everything is okay. You know, and that's what I'm learning today is that everything is okay. As long as I have smart feet and I keep getting into action, I keep meeting with my sponsor every week, I keep going to meetings, I keep doing H&I, and certainly that I keep praying and keep that conscious contact with God, everything is okay. You know, only my mind makes it different. I say that a lot. I say, I'm okay no matter what my head thinks. And that's really the truth. So as I look back and I think, would I want to go back to that guy who lived like an animal, drinking a fifth of vodka in the morning and a fifth of whiskey at night and beer all in between and not eating for 3 weeks at a time? Or would I want this happy, joyful life that I have right now? I wouldn't go back to that in a million years. Thanks.